June 4th, 1919, Great Falls, Montana, Brown's Boarding House. Dear Para Lee, you will never guess what I am posting in the mail besides this letter to you, my last check to Mr. Nefsker. After these long months, Uncle Chester's IOU is paid in full. When first presented with that IOU some months ago, I couldn't imagine how on earth I would repay it, especially after that summer hailstorm knocked down my crops, along with my hopes of making a go of the farm. The good Lord has quite a sense of humor, plunking me down here in Great Falls, in just the sort of job I left Iowa to escape, though I must confess it was pure pleasure this past winter to have indoor plumbing. No more walking to the necessary when it's 40 below. And I've certainly perfected essential cleaning skills. I'll have you know that I can now make a bed, scour the washbowl, and hoover sweep the carpet in a lodger's room in 15 minutes flat. Despite the glamour of my current position, I am counting the minutes until the next thing. What is that, you ask? I do not know. You are right, as always, that the sensible plan is to come to you in Seattle. Of course, I would love to be neighbors again as we were on the Montana prairie, but you know I am not prone to the sensible. What sensible girl would have said yes to spending a year under Montana's big sky, trying to make a go of a long-lost uncle's homestead claim? And what sensible girl wouldn't say yes to Charlie, who is quite convinced we are meant to grow old together? Only a fool would deflect his attentions. Well, I saw such a fool in the mirror this morning. It's not that Charlie wouldn't be easy to look at for the next 50 years. Aside from your Carl, I can't think of another man so solid, kind, and true blue. What is it that I want, one may wonder, if not to be Mrs. Charlie Hawley? That's as much a mystery to me as Uncle Chester's past. But I feel strongly that Hattie here and there must change her life before she can change her name. I still puzzle over Uncle Chester, God rest his soul, calling himself a scoundrel. Perhaps this world needs more such scoundrels. Without him, I never would have had the chance to test myself on the homestead, to breathe in the promises carried on a prairie breeze, or to fill my heart with so many friends, among whom I count you the dearest. Mrs. Brown is hollering for me. She is in a perfect dither over the acting troupe soon to arrive. The venturing varietals are sure to be livelier boarders than our usual Fuller Brush salesmen. Your friend, Hattie Inez Brooks. The floor began to vibrate beneath my feet. Mrs. Brown had progressed from hollering to pounding the ceiling below with the broom handle. Evidently, the workday had begun. I set the letter to Paraly aside, tied my apron on, and went to find my employer. She was in the kitchen kneading bread dough. I was not to be trusted with this particular task. Despite Paraly's expert tutelage, I never managed to bake a loaf of bread any lighter than a flat iron. Mrs. Brown clapped floury hands together. "Busy now? I want things spotless when the actors arrive. Spotless!" She slapped the dough for emphasis. Taking stock of what yet needed to be done, I dragged a rug outside, threw it across the clothesline, and began to beat it clean. As I swung the rug beater back and forth, my thoughts back and forth too, settling first on a snippet from Charlie's last letter. I should be grateful to be home, and I am, don't mistake me. Too many families lost their sons in that war. It's hard to explain what I feel. The best I can come up with is that it's like trying to pitch without a baseball. Something's missing, and I think you know what that something is. I shook my head. Why couldn't I be more like other girls my age? Take Mrs. Brown's niece. She spent her every waking hour sizing up this bow or that, stitching tea towels and petticoats, and putting aside a little each month for a set of spode buttercup dishes. Perhaps I'd have been the same way if it had not been for Uncle Chester leaving me the homestead in his will. Last year, working to prove up, I had been more than Hattie here and there, the orphan girl with too many temporary homes. I had been Hattie Big Sky, carving out a place to belong. Like so many others who'd been drawn to Montana's prairie, I was not successful, and losing the farm was not the worst of my losses. It was nothing compared to losing Mattie.